What's going on, Wind Surge fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Surgecast. I am your host. My name is Scotty Grimmon, and alongside me, as usual, I have the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge. He is none other than Mr. Tim Grubbs. Tim, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, everything's good. I mean, enjoyed the first weekend.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about wins and losses at a riverfront, but I think that it was a good start. I mean, from a operational standpoint, you know, when you work in minor league baseball, you really just want to get those first two, three games under your belt and then start figuring things out from an operational standpoint, what needs to be fixed, what can be adjusted. And I think that's what's great about the three-game homestand. Team goes on the road for a week, and then we'll be back at it again.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're obviously close in with everything that's going on, but I did not realize how crucial, like, the first game, opening day, and we had a flyover. And the timing of that flyover
is the highlight of the weekend. In fact, it was by far the highlight of the weekend. In fact, it's hard to say that.
Yeah.
4 days into the season, it might be hard to top that 100 days from now. Exactly. Or 200 days from now. I mean, to sync it up where, I mean, I'm in the booth, so, and I know it's coming.
Right.
I was at a run through, and I know there's ground control and all that stuff. And I'm getting to the part in that national anthem when the girl was singing, and I look out because I see the distance, and I'm like, it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, last year was really late.
Yeah.
Because the pregame timing went too fast.
Right.
But if an anthem singer I think I said it on the air the other day, they Whitney Houston it or something like that, where sure, it goes 10 seconds, 20 seconds longer than you would normally go or whatever, or vice versa, go too quick.
Yeah.
When you're singing or when you and I are talking, you never know, especially when you're in front of a crowd, it could go quicker or slower.
Yeah.
Perfect.
They nailed it.
Nailed it. Above home plate,
yeah,
right as home of the Brave, and the crowd roared. And
yeah, that was
it
awesome.
It was a highlight of the night. It was a lot of fun.
Really impressive as far as everything. At least for the weekend, yeah. You know, we're going to start off 0-3. That's rough.
You know, when you lose, when you get swept in the opening weekend at home, you know, it's tough. But you know what? You know, like I said, from an operational standpoint, there's kinks. You know, the pitch clock didn't work right over the first weekend, but we'll get that fixed. There were a few other things that probably weren't perfect. And from a baseball standpoint, there were things that weren't perfect. So sure, it's and I think we all have that in all of our daily life as well.
Yeah, this is like Monday for minor league baseball. You know what I mean? But as a fan, I got to go to two of the three games. It was freezing cold on Friday on opening day. So we found quite a few people hunkering in, like, the bar over in left field, which some people because don't even know exists still.
True or false, if you weren't being hit by the wind, it was a lot warmer?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was definitely the wind, and that's, you know, why we call ourselves Wind Surge. You know?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, I was out and about, doing a lot of stuff that day. That was a cold day. It got better during batting practice, and then I'm in the booth during the game. Even though the windows are open, the wind, I'm completely blocked by the wind unless the wind is coming from that direction,
yeah,
which
exactly,
it wasn't. So it was chilly, but I mean, I had a sweatshirt on, but it was
sure,
but it was cold. Saturday seemed like it was great. Simeon Woods Richardson was stellar.
Yeah.
Sunday, oh,
beautiful.
5 minutes into the game, you're like, you're down 5-0. You're like, yeah, wow, this is going to be a rough afternoon. They showed some late life, but you know, it was a beautiful day. It was perfect
weather. It was absolutely perfect. There was a little bit of a gust of wind, but as far as temperature goes, man, that's baseball weather.
That was perfect.
Absolutely great. And we got guys that are familiar faces. We got new faces on the team. We didn't talk much about our roster last episode because we had no idea which guys were going to be here. So tell us a little bit about the roster we got.
Yeah, we got some guys that people will remember. Spencer Steer was here for the second half of the season last year, did a tremendous job. He's one of the Twins' top prospects. Some great defensive plays over the weekend. He had a couple of RBI doubles over the weekend. So offensively in the lineup, I think he's a nice plus. Andrew Bechtold, a nice touch too, as he's back in the lineup. So I'm excited about his return.
Yeah.
Trying to think, you know, some of the other guys, Chris Williams, the catcher, is in there. So we've got a number of position players that are back and some other and some new guys too. Of course, Austin Martin.
Yeah,
probably
I remember
the
him.
Headliner of the big names of the position. position players. But, you know, when you look at pitchers, Simeon Woods Richardson was with us late last year. His first start, stellar. Matt Cantorino's a new name, but one of the top prospects in the Twins organization. And I feel like it's a good team. Mm-hmm. They didn't hit a ton over the opening weekend at home. And, you know, I know it was cool Friday night and Saturday and Sunday it was warmer, but that's pretty much baseball.
Yeah.
Pitching is, I don't know exactly why, pitching's always ahead of hitting early in the season, and that's pretty standard, and it'll probably pick up here in the next few days.
Absolutely. I think that makes sense. I mean, especially for pitchers. Pitchers report first, generally, whenever you're talking about spring training, and the bats don't normally come around until they get warm, man.
Well, and I think there's a lot of adjustments to be made. It's one thing to take a batting practice fastball and drive it into left center field for a hit. It's another thing when you're being deceptive and, you know, throwing breaking balls and you mixing it up. And the pitchers, they can practice that. You know, me and you, not me and you, but two people can
sit in the garage. Yeah, we can do it, Tim. Let's go, buddy.
Can hit their spots all winter long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hitting-wise, you know, you can try that, and there's machines that can throw it, but it's different when you're actually facing a live arm.
Yeah, 100%. And so even though it's a rough start as far as our opening weekend, I found out something new over the weekend. Apparently there are two halves of minor league baseball
this season. And I don't want to... It's going to sound like we're pushing panic button on Dave, you know, the first week of the season. They're in last place away.
There's a big season left here.
Right. There's a lot of season left, so I'm not throwing in the towel. But, okay, for people that remember the Wichita Wranglers, this is how the Texas League was. Last year they didn't do that because when we started the season, we didn't even know for sure there was playoffs.
Sure.
We didn't know the concept of everything when the season started last year. So, yes, there's two starts. So April 8th was opening day. June 26th is the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the Northern Division and the Southern Division. The folks here in Wichita should know most of the Northern Division. They're the teams we all played last year a lot.
Yeah.
That's Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, that's Tulsa, Springfield, and Wichita. So amongst those five teams, whoever has the best record wins the first half. Records reset on June 28th, so you were going to 0-0. And the second half, and then there would also be the Southern Division champion.
Right.
Second half starts June 28th through September 18th. Whoever wins the second half gets the second playoff spot in each division. So you have two Northern teams that will play a best of three.
Okay.
And then there's the championship series who will play the Southern champion.
Sure.
For example, let's just say Tulsa's off to a great start. They win both halves. Do they automatically clinch a spot to the championship? No, it would be the team with the best overall record, the second best, because Tulsa would have the best, choosing them, would get that other playoff spot.
Gotcha.
So there would be a first round and a second round. For folks that remember last year, both teams were from the same division.
Right.
Way Wichita won the division. Frisco won the South Division, and they can claim a pennant.
Sure.
They can claim that they were Southern Division champions last year, and they never made the playoffs.
Which is crazy.
Because they redid the play. They just did best two overall records, despite there was two division champions. I've already seen their game notes. It says division champions.
Nice.
That's kind of like an asterisk there. But, you know, and obviously we lost to Northwest Arkansas in the championship,
right.
And they went on to win the title.
Right.
So, what it does is say you're young.
Yeah.
And you have a young team and you get stumble out of the block and you have a bad start. You're not doomed. Springfield was awful last year. We won five out of the first six in Springfield. And then Springfield lost five of the next six to, I think it was Arkansas right after that. So I think they had a record of like 2-10, 2 weeks into the season. You're not mathematic. Everybody that knows math knows you're not mathematically out of it. But we all know, like, for example, when there's a Major League Baseball team that starts 2-10, what's the odds? I mean, in the NFL, we talk about it. When a team starts 0-2, it's very difficult to make the playoffs.
Right.
So this is a fresh start in the second half. If you get a whole bunch of influx of talent for the, you know, at later in the year, you know, you get a chance to reboot and make a run at it.
Right, and that's the benefit of that. I mean, the other thing that you kind of maybe a little bit touched on, but when you're talking about new talent coming in, there's a lot of movement that happens throughout the season.
There's a ton of movement.
Right, so whenever you get this all of a sudden, this prospect that, you know, is coming up through the rankings and he's working his way, obviously, to start off at single A, and then we get this made, you know, this prospect that's supposed to be a stud comes up in this later half of the second half of the season, all of a sudden that could change your entire lineup exponentially, become better offensively.
Or the opposite can happen. I mean, last year, we were fortunate last year. We had the best pitcher in the league for the first half of the year, and Josh Winder, now in the big leagues with Minnesota Twins. We lost him in late June last year. Mm-hmm. We lost him right around the part where the season would have been reset had it been. We lost Jose Miranda the same day,
right?
The same slugger. We were able to recover because of Spencer Steer, Trey Cabot, you know, B.J. Boyd. We had a couple of guys really kick it in the second half to fix what those guys have done. And 6 months from now, when we talk about 2022, whether we're talking about Wichita or Springfield or someone in the league, there's a story like that that's to come again.
Yeah.
And that's just minor league baseball. These guys, if you're having a great year, they're probably not going to keep you there all year. You're going to move up to the next level unless you're being blocked.
Yeah. Or
unless you're really super young.
Yeah. Or if you've got the well, I guess it's a little bit different. When you get moved up to AAA, you're kind of sitting right behind that stud that's already a star starter, you know what I mean? And that's got that position pretty much locked up, and so it's a little different.
It's a little different, and you know, but it makes its work out. So I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's awesome to do that. I haven't had it. We did not do that in AAA when I was with New Orleans, but I always thought that it was something. It was something that I was involved with when I was at the lower level of minor leagues a few years ago, so I'm kind of glad they brought it back.
Yeah, me too. Me just now finding out about it, I really do like that
idea.
It is
complicated.
It a little bit, but once you figure it out.
Once you figure it out.
Yeah, you can see how it can benefit both sides,
so
really.
So when you come to a game in July this year, it'll say that the Wind Surge are 2-2, and then it'll have their overall. So you'll have two sets of records.
Which
it'll be like
weird.
2-2 and then like 42-18, or I don't even know if the numbers are adding up right now, as up to, you know,
yeah.
But it would, you know, you're going to see two sets of records. And I know for the casual minor league baseball fan, it's like, what is that?
Yeah.
but it works.
Well, and we talked, and this was maybe last season, and I kind of wanted to go into this, but as far as the guys starting off, I mean, granted, we haven't seen a lot. It's been three games. We've seen a couple of at-bats. We've seen, you know, kind of struggling with it like we talked earlier, but are there any guys that you think could potentially move up that are Wind Surge guys?
Absolutely. There's guys, well, you mean below us or in Wichita?
No, in Wichita.
I think both, if I was to answer both of that.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, we're only a weekend into the season, so I can't really say it yet, but, you know, when you get a guy, so what happened, you know, obviously Spencer Steer, Austin Martin, just to name two huge position players, or Simeon Woods Richardson from a pitcher standpoint. Those guys were split year last year at like single A and in the second half in double A.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're returning to double A, and people may think, well, that must mean they need some more work. Yeah, they need some more work, but that doesn't mean that they need another full year
exactly.
of work. It's not like, you know, when we were all in school where you have to repeat fourth grade. Well,
yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean you have to do the whole year. You know, I mean, at mid-year, you could go up to trip. They'll think he's ret because he didn't come here till middle of the year last year.
Right.
Let's get him a full year at AA and, you know, half a year last year and half a year this year or even less and see how he does. And then, obviously, like we mentioned, there's sometimes people blocking you at the next level.
Right.
The last thing you want to do, whether you're when you're a prospect or a potential player, you want to play. You need your reps every day. You don't want to be the backup, whether it's in the big leagues or at AAA or even the backup at AA. So,
yeah.
And usually the way the organizations are, and we're fortunate, we're in a top 15 organization in MLB, depending on what ranks you're looking at it. The numbers are all over the place. The team behind us, Cedar Rapids, made the playoffs last year, and they've got a lot of talent there. So if we lose someone, hopefully there's a nice plug-and-play guy that'll come in right after it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, especially a guy like Austin Martin, I being a baseball player and knowing, just being able to see talent, dude's got confidence, man.
The guy's good.
Defensively, he's stellar. And I like his timing at the plate. He holds his bat a little weird. He kind of has it a little bit frontward tilted, but that's a timing mechanism. And if he gets a hold of one, look out.
Yeah, no, he hits it hard. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of power, but
right.
I think that's something they want to develop. The other thing that we've noticed here in the first weekend of the season of him playing shortstop, he's an outstanding center fielder, but they're working at him at shortstop, and that's where he probably needs some work.
Okay.
I think he's a phenomenal outfielder.
Sure.
But you know, but, you know, I mean, if you can play both,
yeah,
why not? If you, and then he's also blocked by Royce Lewis.
Yeah.
Number one prospect in the Twins system, according to MLB.com. Austin is number two. Both of them are center field shortstop guys. They play the exact
same position.
So
that's funny.
You know, I wasn't sure if they would start them on the same team and just kind of flip-flop what position they played.
Sure.
But I think they probably made the right move and put them at two different spots. You know, and I would have liked to have seen Royce, but I'm happy to have Austin here because, hey, I don't think we're going to miss a beat with him.
That's the most athletic position on the field, man.
Both of them are.
Both, those and two, number one and two.
Teams that win are very good up the middle.
That's right.
Second base, shortstop, center field, and don't forget catcher. That might not be athletic, but you need to have a good catcher
back. Well, yeah, that's the general. That's the guy that's running things.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's a rough start, but, guys, we got a long season left ahead of us, so don't hang your head. We'll see if they can turn it around. But we did have some news since the last time we had our episode last week. We now have an alternate identity.
Yeah, we teased it.
We did tease it a little bit.
But we didn't want to say it because it has been delayed three times.
Yeah.
And it's no longer delayed. Everybody knows.
Right.
The Tumbavakas Day, Wichita. And you're wearing the
jersey
and the cap.
Yeah, man.
You were at the game on Sunday. And you texted me, I'm out your booth to the right wearing the green hat. And I looked. I saw three people with the green hat,
but man.
I did find you pretty quick. The hats are selling.
I'm sure they are.
I see. I don't know how many of the jerseys. I don't have any statistics.
Sure.
I don't look at any of that stuff. That's not in my
sure.
repertoire. But I can tell you what I look out the window and see. And I see a lot of the bright green hats.
I think it looks great, man.
I think it's cool. It's not really me.
Sure.
But it was also only three times a year.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's great.
The players are going to like it.
I think it's great. And I guess translated, if you didn't already know, it basically means cow tippers.
Cow tippers.
So how Kansas can you get about that one?
Yeah, and it's an invitation to the Hispanic community.
Right.
It lets them, you know, we'll have fiesta. Like, instead of that being a ball game, it'll be more of a fiesta.
Oh, that's awesome.
There'll be some music. We'll have piñatas. We'll have some special food on those nights, special on-field contest. It just spin it around. And Alvin Garcia, who handles our promotions, did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really looking forward. There's the first one is in May, the second one is in June, the third one is in July. So I'm really excited to see how it evolves. The black jersey with black pants.
Oh, baby, it's going to look good.
So it's going to be a sharp-looking uniform.
I think it looks great. I mean, you got neon green, neon pink
green,
up the side. You stick out like a sore thumb, though, everywhere you go.
You got some flowers. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. It's easy to spot a guy that's wearing a Tumbavakas hat because it is. It's like bright neon.
It is bright neon.
So, yeah, you're not hiding very easily, but yeah, man. So now we're off on the road. Basically,
a week in the road
yeah.
with the Northwest Arkansas,
yep.
and then next week the Oakland A's affiliate comes into town. And for those folks listening, a week from Wednesday is a day game.
Okay,
so it's a noon game.
Wow.
So for those folks, and hopefully we get a beautiful day like the Sunday day game we had at home this week.
Yeah,
for those folks that want to kick out and go get some pulled pork nachos for lunch, or even if grab a lunch beer, or even if it's, you know, get out of work permanently,
absolutely,
know, for the rest of the day. The afternoon ball game, we have a couple of them this year, and I'm excited about that one next week.
Absolutely. If you need a good excuse to get away from work, just WinSurge being a baseball game. Absolutely. That's a good enough excuse. But we do. We got a lot of stuff coming up soon. I didn't really have anything else unless there was anything that you wanted to drop.
I hope everybody enjoyed. The folks that are listening that came out to the first weekend, there's a lot of new on-field promotions.
I know
we've teased it. We didn't give a lot of details, and it's kind of one of those, and it's a work in progress. There'll be some more things added. Minor league baseball, where it's fun to be a fan, and you know, and I think that's what it's all about. Obviously, the Tumbavakas part is part of our expansion of our identity and our branding, and you know, we're going to continue to do things like that. We're going to have more and more promotions, not just fireworks, not just, you know, this and that. There'll be a lot more things developing at the ballpark as the summer progresses. So I think that's what year two is all about, and we'll continue to grow for year three.
Absolutely. And then that merchandise can be bought, I believe, WinSurge.com, if I remember correctly.
Yes, or you can come by the McLean the stores on McLean are open 9 to 5 every day, even when the team's out of town. And then obviously on game days, it's open even extended hours.
And I got to admit I am a hat snob. I really am. But there are two new hats that have come out on top of obviously the Tumbavaca's hat. But there are two new hats. There is a all black with with the Wind Surge logo in black and yellow. So it's yellow.
Yep.
And then there is a new Wind Surge hat that has the red bill. And I'm sorry. Backwards. It's a red hat with a baby blue bill available as well.
And I think that's going to sell pretty well. Kind of popular. It's not what we wear on the field. And right. That doesn't mean we won't wear something like that on the field in the future. But those are colors and those are combinations people like. And there's an all black one, too. I don't know if you saw it.
It's a snapback, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
See, I'm not a hat snob.
See, I'm a hat snob. I have to wear a 5950, man. It's just the way I am.
And the guys make fun of me. I'm a dad hat.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, and the funny thing about it is, yes, I am a dad, but I've been that way
forever. I'm sure.
I mean, if you see pictures of me when I was 16 years old, I wore the dad hat back then. So yeah. It's just, I've never really been the ball cap guy, the guy that, you know, it just looks big. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I just wear those other hats when I go out golfing or whatever.
Absolutely. And if you wore a 5950, you'd look weird. So it's okay.
Certain people, it doesn't work. But I don't have any problem with it. I think they look good.
Yeah, they do.
I just, you know.
They do.
We all have our touches. So.
Yep. Well, guys, definitely do come out and see us when the Wind Surge return. And who do we play again? That would be Midland.
Oakland A's affiliate comes into town for a week. And then we're gone for a week. And it's the alternating schedule here to start.
That's awesome. So, guys, we really do appreciate you guys tuning in to the SurgeCast. Again, look out for the next episode when we can do it. We sincerely do appreciate it. Thank you very much, Tim. We appreciate it whenever you're here. And as always, guys, surge up.